where people pray, where he hear praise as he hears. Come on, there is a sound. There is a sound I love to hear. It's the sound of the Savior's robe as he walks into the room. Where people pray, when we hear worship, he hears faith. Wake my soul and sing, sing his praise. Sing his praise.
death could not hold him. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no
Anika, and I serve on our worship team. We're so glad you could join us this morning. When you walked into the service, you were handed a program. Inside, you can find upcoming events and special announcements. To find more ways to get connected here at Harvest Time, scan the QR code at the bottom of your program. Here, you can find links, send in prayer requests, or fill out a connection card if you're new here. July 4th, we're launching our summer schedule with a barbecue picnic after the 10:30 service. For July through August, our new summer morning service times will be 9 and 10:30. Vacation Bible School is also just right around the corner, and it's not too late to register your kids or sign up to be a volunteer. Check out this video to see what it's all about.
I am a priceless treasure. God knows me, God hears me, God is my comfort. I am His and there's nothing better. Forgiven and chosen forever. I am a treasure.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harvest Time Church. We're so glad that you've come to worship the Lord with us today. Didn't our worship team do a great job leading us this morning? Actually, this time of year, I need to say welcome to Harvest Time Church and Sun Tanning Parlor. It gets a little sunny on one side of the sanctuary during these summer months, and for those of you that are sitting in the sunny section, if at any point it just gets a little too bright for you, please feel free to get up at any time and just change your seat if you need to do that, if you're getting a little warm. Some people like to double up and work on their tan while they're taking in the Word of God, but if it's too much for you, please do feel free to get up and just rearrange your seat. I want to welcome everybody that's worshiping with us online this morning. We're so glad that you've joined us today and thankful that God's Spirit has us connected. We want to thank you for all of your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church, and we want to thank you for honoring the Lord with your giving. Your tithe is the first 10% of what the Lord has entrusted to you. God says in His Word, bring the whole tithe into my house. We want to thank you for supporting the work of missions, the spread of the gospel here at home and all around the world. Every month, Harvest Time Church supports over 60 missionaries and missions organizations, and your giving to missions throughout the year helps us to just keep the gospel moving forward. King David wrote, "The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. All your works praise you, Lord, and your saints shall bless you." How many of you have just come to bless the Lord today? We've come to bless Him with our worship. We've come to bless Him with our offerings. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power and make known to all people your mighty acts. You know, that's what we've been doing these last couple days with our friend, Dr. Randy Clark, and the team from Global Awakening. We have been talking about the power of the kingdom, but we haven't just been talking about it. We've been making it known and experience it. How many of you have been part of the services on Friday and Saturday? And how many of you received a touch from the Lord over these last couple days? Amen. We're so thankful for God's presence and Spirit with us. In just one moment, the ushers are coming to receive our offering. You can use the offering envelope to give today. You can slip cash in the offering envelope. If you're making a check, make it out to Harvest Time Church. Or you can give by credit card or by debit card. Some people like to give by text, and the information for that is on the screen behind me. If you're worshiping with us online or for everyone, you can give to Harvest Time Church anytime online at our website, htchurch.com. Just click on the giving link at the top of the homepage, and it'll guide you in making a secure gift online. Just before the ushers come, a couple quick things. We had our annual report this last Wednesday evening, and we want to just express our appreciation. Dr. Sunil Rana and our friend Ed Trask, who is here with us, just finished 6 years of service. Dr. Rana's over on that side. Just finished 6 years of service on our Board of Deacons and Trustees. Let's just let Dr. Rana and Ed know how much we appreciate their service to our congregation. And we were delighted to welcome three new members onto our board, G.C. Ochoa, Dr. Robin Varhees, and our friend Brad Apelgren is here. I saw Brad's face somewhere. There he is. Brad is coming back for another term of torture on the board. Brad, we're so thankful for your willingness to come and serve in the trenches with us. And if you see them, just express your appreciation to them. Want to let you know that starting Sunday, July 4th, we are going to two Sunday morning worship services at 9 and 10:30 a.m., and we're going to keep that schedule for July and August in the summer months. Sunday happens to fall on July 4th this year, and so after the second service, we're going to have a church picnic, and we're going to have a great time together. I'm going to ask the ushers to come and wait on us this morning. God bless you as you give. Let's just give thanks to the Lord. Father, thank you that you lavished your very best on us in Jesus. You didn't withhold the best that you had. You offered Him up for us freely. Freely we receive, so freely we give back to you today. Tithes and offerings, missions giving, Father, we pray that you'd bless these loaves and fishes, cause them to multiply and be more than enough to meet the need of this your house and the work of your kingdom all around the world. Bless every giver in this offering today. In Jesus' name, if your heart agrees, would you say amen and amen. God bless you as you give.
I'm going to sing, "You Have No Rival."
You have no rival. You have no equal.
God bless you. You may be seated. Well, it has been such an incredible privilege to have Dr. Randy Clark with us and some members of his team. They have just poured out and ministered to us, and we're so grateful. At the end of the service today, we're going to have an opportunity to just bless them. In your program today is an extra offering envelope, and at the back door, there's going to be some offering plates. And if Dr. Clark and his team have just blessed you, I want to encourage you to just bless them before they go. Want to say a very warm welcome to our dear friend, Bishop Drew Williams. Drew is my good friend. He pastored Trinity Church here in Greenwich for 12 years, and I want to say, during the decade that Drew was here, he really was just the most influential spiritual leader in our community. We're so grateful for his leadership. Drew is now the bishop for New England of the Anglican Churches of North America. And I texted Drew yesterday and I said, "Drew, I don't know why I didn't have the presence of mind to insist you come." And he got in his car and drove down from Massachusetts early this morning. And Drew, we're just so glad you're here. We welcome you. We bless you today. Our friend Dr. Randy Clark is the founder of Global Awakening Ministries, travels all around the world just sharing the good news of Jesus with signs and wonders following. He's the author of over 40 books, and maybe the greedy people in First Service left a few books out on the book table for you to take a look at. Anything that he's written will be a blessing to you. He leads the Global Supernatural School of Supernatural Ministry, and just offers training in the things of the Spirit. I received a healing from the Lord the last time that he was with us in 2017. And my aunt, I shared, was watching Friday evening from Tulsa, Oklahoma, watching the service, and somebody gave a word of knowledge about healing for knees. And the Lord healed my aunt's knees on Friday evening. All the way in Oklahoma, she sent me a message on Sunday morning. And she said, on Saturday morning, she said, "My knees are healed and all the pain is gone." Would you please, I know you're just comfy in your seats, but would you get on your feet one more time? And would you give a best welcome to our friend, Dr. Randy Clark?
Thank you. Well, I do want to say thank you for having me in your church once again. You're very brave to have me twice. I've been very pleased just seeing the hunger that's been here and the numbers of people that have come out and the people that's been touched, and both by the Holy Spirit activation of gifts and also for healing. If you're interested, I think we have a couple of books left. The Healing Breakthrough is one of the two most important books that I've written on healing. The other one is Power to Heal, which are sold out, but you can get it on Google. But these two together, I think if I would have had this book when I first started ministry, it would have saved me like 30 years to learn what I've learned. This is what I learned from John Wimber and Omar Cabrera Sr., who is a very famous healing evangelist of Argentina. Those are the two biggest influences. And then what the Lord has taught me in 51 years of ministry. And the first half of the book tells teachings and practices that will hurt faith. And the second half of the book are teachings and practices that will create an atmosphere of faith. And then lastly, we have a ministry team training manual. The last fourth of the book or fifth is on deliverance only. It's got an intake thing where you can look for open doors that people may have opened up to, and the rest of the book is on developing a healing team in your church, different ways of praying for the sick, words, knowledge, stuff we've taught this week. And I would like to invest both in you, Drew, and I want to give them to you. And not that you need them, but you may have some people that might benefit from them. Bless you. I want to speak to you this morning on the power of the testimony to create faith for healing, and learning how to steward testimony, and the church having an understanding of the value of the testimony and understanding the importance of when we withhold the testimony of healings we've received, thinking it might be humility, it's actually often pride because we're afraid to talk in front of people. And it also is a way that it withholds God's glory, because the number one way God is glorified in the New and Old Testament is through what he does. And the second most way that God is glorified is through the testimony of what he has done. And we're even instructed to maintain and to guard the testimonies. We're going to look at three stories today in four passages of Scripture. And then we're going to actually, hopefully, if I have time, do a good job of doing what I need to do, have a short video that's about 7 or 8 minutes long, I believe, that's just full of testimonies. And this time, most all of them are in the United States. Actually, many of them happened at one meeting we did in Reading at Bethel Church. And it was a creative miracle. And we just want you to see that presently, this is just a few years ago, presently, God is still doing healing and performing miracles. When I was working on my doctorate, I was teaching on a Sunday morning early before the seminary intensive was going to start the next day. And I was at an all African-American church, totally African-American. And I never taught in an African-American church. It was like all African-American. I taught it a mixed black and white, but never just totally African-American. And so I was quite nervous because the African-American preachers that was at our seminary were just, they could preach the paint off the walls. I mean, my first day there, I was up standing on my seat yelling with the others, and weeping. And it was just, they were amazing preachers. And I was intimidated because I don't have any rhythm in trying to, to preach to the back of the organ at the right time. I couldn't do that. And I was quite intimidated, and I started the message I thought would have been appropriate, and it's the only time I can remember ever doing this. I got like 5 minutes into the message, and it is so bad in the sense that it's not right for the congregation that I stopped, look over to the pastor, who was also a dentist, and he and his wife, she had two doctorates, and I said, "Sorry, pastor, but I don't have the right message for your church. I'm not going to go on. I'm just going to start telling stories of what I'm seeing God do." And I came around, And I just stood in front of the pulpit and I just start telling stories. Now, those of you who know a little bit about my ministry, you're saying, well, that's the only thing you do anyway. So what's the difference, you know? But I started telling stories. And in the middle of the story, I felt heat come on the top of my right foot. And I didn't explain it as a word of knowledge. I just said, I feel heat on the top of my right foot. And then went right back into telling stories of what I've seen God do around the world. Until no one's watching, looking at me. No one's listening. And everybody's looking over there. And that's when I can't preach. I can preach through about anything. I preached in Toronto in those crazy years, those crazy weeks when it first broke out. But when people aren't paying attention, I can't preach. And so I said, no one's listening. So I walked over here, and there's this great big black guy. He was like tackle football player. And he's like this big around, chest, waist, hips. He's just a huge man. He's like, I have to look up to him. And he's crying. Tears are just running down his cheeks. And it's got my attention. So I said, what's going on? And he points to his wife, who's in the second row here, and said, that's my wife. Ask her. So I went over and asked her, what's going on? And she said, when I was 8 years old, I fell out of a project building. The window broke, and it cut my foot, and it almost cut it off. It's hanging by the tendon, Achilles tendon, and they had to reconstruct my foot. And in doing so, they had to put some artificial tendons in, and I've lost the ability to ever see. I'm 28. For 20 years, I could not... curl my toes. I could not point my foot. If you can't do that, you can't run, because that movement is required to be able to run. She's not been able to run for 20 years. But when you said you felt heat come on your right foot, instantly heat came on my right foot. And it gave me faith. I need to check this out. So I tried to curl my toes, and I could for the first time since the surgery. It's been impossible to do. And then she pointed her foot, and then she jumped up and ran around the church. And the church went pretty crazy because they knew her and knew she couldn't do that. You know, and we kind of have a tendency to clap, but they didn't. Most of the young men on the team, they did this. And I thought, okay, that's different, but... 1 week later, I have flown to Taipei, Taiwan, and I'm preaching in Taipei, Taiwan. It's only 1 week. It's the Sunday after that happened. Of course, it's on my mind. I tell that story. And after the sermon's over, after the service is over, this Chinese man with his daughter came up to me. And the Chinese man said this, I want you to know that we didn't come here today because you're preaching, because we don't know who you are. We've never heard of you, and we didn't come here to hear you. The reason why we're here is as I was driving on the way to my church, this is not my church, the Holy Spirit said, turn in here and go to church here. Didn't understand why, but I believed it was the Holy Spirit, so I obeyed. And then he stopped and looked at his adult daughter, who was about 28 to 30 years old. Said, near turn. And she said, I can't believe you told that story. Because when I was a little girl, I almost had my foot cut off. It was hanging by the Achilles tendon. They had to put in some artificial tendons, and I couldn't curl my toes. I couldn't point my foot. I couldn't run. And the fact that God brought us here, I know God brought us here so that I would hear that testimony. Because when I heard that testimony, it gave me faith. I'm about to be healed. And I tried to curl my toes and I could. I pointed my foot and I could. I ran outside a while ago. I ran around the parking lot. You see, the first person was healed by a word of knowledge that created faith. But the second person was healed by a testimony of a healing that God used to create faith. Plus, faith that was created because of the timing and the way God had orchestrated her to be there to hear that testimony. We see it not only today, but we also see this principle, because I did have a Baptist background, you know, and I do have some education. So I want you to know, I know that I need to read the Bible. It's not really valid to preach if you don't read the Bible. And so now, having started with an illustration that just happened in the recent past, I want to show you where this principle is also found in Scripture. And the first connection, I can't prove it, it's my theory, but I think I can prove this connection between faith and testimony between the second two stories. In Luke chapter 6, verse 17 through 19, speaking of Jesus, he went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people, this is the main verse, all tried to touch him because power was coming out of him and healing them all. When we move from that passage, I think what happened there is the cause for the next healing. Though I can't prove it, I believe it. And I believe it's because of what the woman wanted to do, which is found just a couple of chapters over. And the first two stories are going to be in Luke, and the second story, this woman with the issue of blood, we'll also look at Matthew, because Matthew tells us something that Luke didn't, and then connect it to the last passage in Matthew, so you can see that there is, it's in the correct chronological order, because testimony does have to have a chronology to it. So in Luke chapter 8, beginning in the middle of verse 42, as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there. By the way, the crowds are almost crushing him. He's being touched. You know, I've been in crowds like that where everybody's trying to touch you and everything. And it is sometimes it can get overwhelming. And so he's almost being crushed by the crowds. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. Now, Luke's a physician. He doesn't mention what another gospel writer said, and she'd spent all of her money on doctors, and she was no better. This kind of agreement between doctors not to speak negative about each other goes all the way back to the New Testament. And there is a situation that doctors can't do anything for, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the, remember this phrase, edge of his cloak. Now, hem of his garment in King James, other versions. Edge of his cloak. She touched the edge of his cloak. That's a detail that's in more than one of the parallels of this story, this little detail. She touched the edge of his cloak. That's important for a reason. And immediately, her bleeding stopped. She'd been hemorrhaging. Verse 45, who touched me? Jesus asked. And when they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. Well, a lot of people were touching him, but her touch was different from those others' touch. You can be in the proximity of God and not necessarily be healed, even when there's anointing in the place. But there was this touch of hers that was different. It was a touch of faith. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. And in the presence of all the people, that's important, in the presence of that great crowd, in the presence of all of the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Now, several questions. Number one, why did she realize that she couldn't hide herself in the midst of the crowd? When I was 16 years old and had my girlfriend, and we were at the county fair, a bad pickpocket picked my pocket, and I felt it. And it wasn't a big crowd either. And I turned around as soon as I fell, and I can't find the pickpocket. He's hidden, or himself, herself, in the midst of a little bitty crowd. Why could this woman not hide herself? Why does she come trembling? And one says trembling with fear. I think she's a little bit fearful because she got caught stealing on the anointing. She didn't ask permission. And I think she came realizing she couldn't hide herself. She's the only one standing there looking like this because the power that he felt go out of him, she felt come into her. And it's having an effect, this trembling of the power of God going through her. And she realizes that she can't hide herself. So she comes and then she admits. But in this Gospel of Luke, she doesn't explain why she touched him. It says that she explained why and then how she had been healed. Matthew does explain why. Now, I would like to also say that my opinion is that what gave her this idea, I need to touch him, was the story somebody told. Maybe she was there, maybe she heard it from somebody else, but she heard what had happened a short time before out on the level place where everybody that touched him was healed because power was coming out of him and healing them all. I believe it was, I can't prove that theory, my theory. I believe it was the story, the testimony that she had heard that gave her this idea, if I can just touch his clothes. And it says she touched the edge of his cloak and she was healed. And Jesus said her faith healed her. And that's true, but it's not the full truth. Now be with me, hang on with me a second. How many of you believe your key will start your car? Okay. Take your key, go out, lift up the hood, touch the motor anywhere you want, see how it works. Now, I know you're thinking, well, that's stupid. You got to know how to use your key. That's a good thought. You got to know how to use your key. Does your key start your car? Or does this thing that's about this big that's bolted onto your engine that in English, this illustration works so much better in English than Portuguese or Spanish. What starts your car? What do we call the thing that starts your car? This is easy. It's not a hard test. What's it called in English? So the starter starts your car, not your key. But your key is what causes the starter to start the car. So there is truth. Your faith has made you whole. But it was your faith that laid hold of the power of Jesus Christ. His power is what heals us. Faith is what accesses that power. And sometimes we talk about the emphasis. My emphasis is not so much on your ability to believe, but on God's ability to bring you into belief. My emphasis is going to be, in all the places I go, on the grace of God to do things in the meeting to help create an atmosphere of faith when we understand his ways. Now, when we turn to Matthew and look at Matthew's version of this story in Matthew 10, or Matthew 9, verse 20 and 21. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and, here it is again, this is important, touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, now this is the explanation of why she touched the edge of her cloak, what Luke didn't tell us. This is why she touched the edge of her cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her and take faith, daughter, he said, your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed from that moment. The point I want you to get was that the way she's talking to herself was speaking faith. If I could just touch the edge of his cloak, and it was based upon a testimony, in my opinion. And when she does touch the edge of his cloak, she does get healed. And again, Matthew, like Luke, tells us this detail. Now, oral tradition, we have to learn, they approach things very different as they try to make sure the details of the story are held and told the same way. And this is part of the oral tradition that actually was included and used in the scripture. But it's important that they said she touched the edge of his cloak. And said, well, why? Why are you belaboring that? I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 14 for our last passage, and I'm almost done with the message so that we can start applying the message. Matthew chapter 14, Jesus is going to a place where he left in charge of the evangelism for this whole area, a demonized guy that used to run around naked and eat the dogs and stuff, you know, the Gadarene demoniac, and he's given him in charge. You're going to be in charge of evangelizing there. He did a really good job. And And then they crossed over the sea. They had a battle on the sea. Often you're going to have a battle before a breakthrough. Often you'll find the enemy attacking you before major breakthrough. And so they have arrived. And picking up in verse 34 through 36, the last part of the chapter, this is Jesus and the disciples that are speaking of. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him. Verse 36 is what I'm really trying to get to. They brought all the sick to him and, verse 36, begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. Such faith, they went and told everybody, and they brought all the sick to him. And they begged him, just let the sick touch the edge of your cloak. Why? That's not the way Jesus usually healed. This is one of the very few times that healing is connected to people touching him. Him touching them, him laying hands on them, yes, that's common. Him going to a house where somebody's at, him declaring healing, him commanding things, him casting out demons. But people being healed by touching him was not a common phenomenon recorded in Scripture. We had those two incidents, the woman with the issue of blood and then the people out on the plain. What's so important about it, and by the way, this is where I feel like many modern-day commentators are just really missing it. And I get frustrated when I read some of the commentaries written by my, I'm a Baptist background, so I Baptist commentators. And they say, this is where we're approaching a superstitious kind of faith. And they're apologetic for what happens here. Apologetic for this low-grade type of superstitious faith. But they don't really understand. How is faith created? One of the ways faith is created is by the power of testimony. And it's not superstition. It's just that God used the story to build them faith. That what he did to them, he can do for me. And why I believe there's such faith there and everybody gets healed is because somebody from the Gerasene area had been present when that woman told everybody about how, why she had touched, and they had heard about her touching the edge of his cloak, and there's a faith connected. If I could just do that, his power is going to heal me. It's not superstition, it's an understanding of the way God was working, and it created faith. I've seen over 5,000 people in the last, since September 2009, get healed who had metal in their body and had chronic pain and loss of range of motion. Over 5,000 people once it started. 2 years ago in a church in Brasilia, I started seeing women get healed of psoriatic arthritis. I never prayed for it, never heard of it. Two women in the same night, both were pastores. And in the next few months, the next 12 women that came with psoriatic arthritis, having never prayed for it, all of a sudden, it's 12 of 13 were healed. It's created faith in me for both of those. Those are two things. I don't have to have a word of knowledge to have faith to pray and see that get healed. Most of the other times, my faith is strengthened by the impact of word of knowledge. I remember I was praying for a 12-year-old boy in Odessa, and he was deaf in one ear, and he got healed. And his mother got upset with me because she didn't think I was happy enough. I wasn't celebrated enough. And I said, I have seen quite a few people get healed of deafness. She said, yes, but have you seen anybody healed of deafness who didn't have an auditory nerve? I said, what? My son doesn't have an auditory nerve. It was burned out by a fever. It was confirmed by the doctor here in Odessa and also in Venice, Italy, another specialist. There is no auditory nerve, and yet he gets his hearing, which was a creative miracle. God created an auditory nerve. So when you begin to see things like that, you begin to see people getting healed, you have more faith for it. I remember in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, one night there was a woman from Nigeria who had been born deaf, had never heard a sound in her life, and she communicated through sign language. And on the same night was a Hispanic woman who had been blind in both eyes for 30 years due to over 50 types of operations and surgical things that she had had. And it was a disease that had taken her sight away. And on the same night, both of them were healed. And the woman went home seeing, and the other woman were teaching her, because she's hearing sounds. And we would say her name, and their sister through sign language say, "This is your name. This is what your name sounds like." It was so much fun watching that happen. So when you have seen things, it helps you have more faith for things to happen. And as we talk about healing, it's this thing that it says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that we're to change the way we're thinking, to repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So these stories of healings are help us to move past our postmodern and, you know, naturalistic way of thinking, to believe that it really is true. All things are possible. With Jesus Christ, all things are possible. I prayed for people to be healed of stroke victims who were paralyzed for 30 years and never saw one get healed. And then all of a sudden, I began to hear about my friend Heidi Baker and Roland Baker and how the numbers of people they're seeing being raised from the dead in Mozambique. And I went and I met some of the people who had been raised from the dead. And I met the villages that got totally converted out of one religion into another, out of Islam into Christianity, because of the dead people being raised. And I talked to people who had raised the dead. And I started collecting stories, videos of dead raising, because when somebody has been dead for hours, and then they come back to life, and there's no brain damage, that's a miracle. Recently, 2 weeks ago, I was out at Andrew Womack's, and he was telling me about his oldest son who died. And his younger son called him and said, "Dad," the boy by name, he's died. I think it was an overdose, I'm not sure, but he died of, and he was young, and he was toe-tagged. And by the time he can get to where the boy is at, he is under a sheet, naked, with a tag on his toe, and he has been dead for, I think, 4.5 hours. But on the way there, Andrew is reminded of some prophetic words about his son. He stands in faith. He begins to cry out. He begins to plead the blood. He begins to pray for his son. And by the time they arrive, the boy has come back to life in the morgue. And all I'm saying is, when you hear stories like that, it changes the way what you really can expect. And so after hearing stories like that, I was in the mountains of Brazil in a city called Petropolis. And there was a man who was first time to ever come to church. He'd been a mean man. His wife told me about it. He's going to come tonight. He's never been to church in his life. He's been a bad husband. He's beat me. He's an alcoholic and all this type of stuff, which really makes it hard, because then if you lose someone as a pillar of your church to something like this, you just don't understand it. And I don't either, because I pastored for 30 years and I don't try to understand these things. God didn't say, "Once you understand the way I do stuff, follow me, be my disciple." He says, "No, you come follow me. Whether or not I understand, just come follow." So anyway, this guy's got a claw hand and he's paralyzed on this side from the stroke. But there's the woman. And in Brazil, there's a real anti-Catholicism, anti-Protestant. There's a big split between Catholics and Protestants in Brazil. Like 100 times worse than here, or 1,000 times worse than here. And I said that to say this. So this Catholic family brought their mother with her veil over her head, and they're sitting on the back row. And she too has a claw hand, paralyzed from a stroke, and her stroke took her speech away. And she can think of what she wants to say, but it won't come out. It won't come out. She can't talk. She can make sounds, but she can't say. And so we get there an hour early to pray for people who are blind, deaf, lame, and are terminally ill. And we're going to pray for that category of people 1 hour before the service starts. And then at the end of the service, we'll pray for the team. I had about 100 people on my team, 80 to 100 people on the team. We'll pray for everybody that needs for healing. So as we're praying. I got a team over here, team over there. We're praying, and I'm going back and forth. And it's time for me to go preach. So I come up on the platform, and as I'm getting ready, I look out, and over there is that man who came in like this, paralyzed. And there he is, hands raised, no paralysis in the hands, weeping because he had just been healed in the name of Jesus, creative miracle, and given his life to the one who had just healed him. And in the back is that Catholic lady with both her hands raised up in worship, no paralysis, and singing and ability to say the words. And so I went from 30 years, not one person ever healed of a stroke, and in one night, two people get healed of severe damage from a stroke. And the next day, down in Rio de Janeiro, a man walked out of a wheelchair from a stroke that he had been in for 10 years. And I thought, what was the difference? And I realized the difference was my expectation of what really is possible. Because when I had never heard or seen anybody who had ever had their brain healed from a stroke, and I just didn't know of one testimony of anybody anywhere that it happened. And then all of a sudden, I get started hearing these stories of the dead being raised. And a stroke is damage to the brain from a lack of oxygen after several minutes. But if you've been dead for hours, all the cells of your body needs to have a creative miracle. And every cell in the brain. And then to come back to life and not have any brain damage, all of a sudden I have a new paradigm by which I now look at what really is possible. It's one thing to say all things are possible in quotes of scripture. It's another to say it and actually believe all things really are possible. I mean, it really is possible. All things are possible. We were down in Fortaleza, Brazil, on the coast, and two men who are pastors on my team and my spiritual son who's Brazilian, they're praying for this guy. Now, this guy's in his 30s, and when he was born with blind in one eye, his right eye, blind. Why was he blind? Because the optic nerve wasn't connected to the back of the eye. There is no connection. There's a break between the optic nerve and the back of the eye. If your optic nerve's not, you can't see. It's impossible. He gets healed. Long story short, he gets healed. It had such an impact on his family. It's a very well-to-do family from another area of Brazil. The whole family moved their business to this city so they could go to this church where their son had been healed and got sight in an eye because he'd become quite wealthy and he'd gone to the best optometrist and whatever in Brazil. And they said, we're sorry, but your optic nerve's not even connected. There's nothing we can do. And they said, the only way you're ever going to see it's going to take a miracle. And he said, okay. So I want to show you very quickly a video, and I want to declare something to you. I know this video has the power to create faith that you can be healed as you watch it. Anything similar or just build faith? It's mostly in the United States. There are creative miracles that happen in California on this night. And I want to declare, because I found out I can show the same video, but if I don't tell you what I think is possible, you can watch it without an expectation of anything happening. And I want to say to you, you can be healed watching the video, and I believe it so much. As soon as the video's over, I'm going to ask everybody to stand up, and I want you to do something to test out whatever problem you're having physically to see if that problem has been resolved. And if you're at least 80% or more on the way of being healed, I want you to wave both hands over your head like that and give God the glory for what he just did. And that will also help create more faith for the people to see what God is doing. You'll be healed without a prayer, because it's not the prayer that heals you anyway. It's faith. So let's watch it.
Eli?
Yeah.
What was your problem? What have you been?
A metal plate sticking out of my arm for years and in front of everyone.
Off her arm. It's always been that way.
It just went down.
I watched it go flat.
That's the before. Yeah.
In an instant, I watched it go flat. As we were praying over her, it disappeared. The plate's gone. She's always had that. It's gone.
You can see the rip.
You can see it sticking out this far.
The screws that had come out were in my muscle. They were embedding, and so.
It stuck out like a mound on her arm. Always.
It was gnarly.
I watched it go thunk.
Since like 2006.
So for nine years.
She's had this huge plate coming out of her arm, like a mound on her arm that was so visible. And I watched it as we were praying. Instantly, it went thunk and it was gone. Praise God.
Can I say one other thing?
Yeah.
In 2012, I got saved at the Healing Rooms in Santa Maria, and I got healed of HIV, and my heart valves got healed, and I've got the proof, the medical proof to prove it.
Yes.
And so I didn't think God would do more for me, and then they stood up and prayed for my arm, and he healed me again. So
I had a disease in my ear, and it's called cholesteatoma, and it ate away all the ear bones and the eardrum in my left ear, and I could only hear very loud noises like tractors and airplanes, but I couldn't hear the TV, and I couldn't talk on the phone, and I couldn't hear my very quiet friend. And this weekend, I think that just changed, and I think I can hear out of my ear just fine, and I can hear little tiny noises like rubbing my fingers together in this ear, and that is a total change, completely.
So you said you had no ear bones, no eardrum, and you could only hear very loud sounds.
Yeah.
And now you're saying you can hear a gentle rub of your own fingers in the midst of a crowd. Is that right?
Yeah, in this noisy room, I can hear my little fingers and I can hear my quiet friend just fine.
Incredible. Praise God.
That's my foot. My cricket foot. That was my cricket foot.
That was her foot.
Hallelujah.
And it also affected my back. So when my foot got healed, I don't have any more back pain either.
Okay. On a scale of 0 to 10, 10 is excruciating. What was the level of your pain before you got healed?
Can I say over 10?
Yes.
Because a lot of the times, like, I couldn't even make dinner for my husband or do anything with my grandkids.
What's your pain level now?
0.
Hallelujah!
Woo!
I was one of the people that stood up when he said crowbar, and everybody kind of giggled, but I stood up because God had told me earlier when we were in praise and worship, it's the crowbar. You're still holding on to that. A reason is that I suffered domestic violence. And I was beaten with a crowbar, my neck was broken, my jaw was broken, I suffered loss of hearing, and this year I couldn't hear at all. I wear a hearing aid. The associate pastor and his wife could attest, they're my in-laws, they're my brother's niece, so they're mine, that I can't hear. But we were in praise and worship, he said, now I'm gonna wash you clean, and I was there. I was kind of embarrassed, but I was just soaking. It was just getting wet. And I said, I better take off my hearing aid or else I'm not going to be able to hear. It's not going to work because they get wet. They don't work. So I took it off, and then I was saying, wait, I could hear. I don't know how good I could hear, but I've never heard you before preach, even with a microphone, without the hearing aid. And tonight, I didn't wear the hearing aid. It went right into my Bible pocket, and I haven't put it back on. Because it was the crowbar, I guess, that when it beat me and broke my neck and my jaw, and God healed me inside my heart, because he said, it's not the hearing that you want. It's the healing inside that you want. But I'm going to give it to you anyway.
Amen.
Now, the Lord had spoken to her and told her before, is this correct? Before I gave the word crowbar,
Amen.
He told you he was going to heal the crowbar issue
yes.
for you tonight.
Yes.
And then we get this word crowbar. So thank you for coming and giving that testimony. And thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you.
All right. I'd like everybody to stand up, and I'd like for you to, in faith, try to do something you can't do. And now there's some of you that you can't prove you've been healed because you would have to have a test. You'd have to have a test. So I'm going to divide it up between those who can tell and those who would have to have the test. But if you have to have the test, but you felt just power go through you, heat or energy, when your high probability you're going to find that you were, but we're going to make a separation between those that can prove and those who think they were, but they got to have a test. Those who could know, there's something changed. You can do something you couldn't do. You could do it before, but it had been painful. Now it's not. Your pain has gone down. You're at least 80% better. Give God the glory and acknowledge what he did by waving both hands over your head. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Those of you who would have to have a test to know that you were healed, but you believe you were because of his presence that came on your body. Wave both hands over your head. Probably 10 or 15. What were you healed of that you know that you could? Torn muscle, and you couldn't do what you're doing. How long it had been since you'd been able to? Months, because you tore the muscle. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to encourage you as a congregation, be good stewards of the testimonies. Value the testimony. Every testimony you hear, period, is yours to share. But every testimony that happens in this body is part of the body of Christ you're a part of. If you hear the story, you can tell others about it. As you tell more people about what God's doing in your church, in the region, and the people talk about it, more faith is going to be formed in that region. One last story, and I'll let you go. I'll turn it over to Pastor Glenn. In Reading, they understand the testimony so powerfully that everybody shares every story they hear. They share them. And this hairdresser, who's not a Christian, had so many people sit in her chair and tell her stories about what was happening in the church that when another one of her clients sat in the chair and she could tell by her countenance something's wrong, asked her what's wrong, and she said, I just found out I have cancer. This beautician, who was not a Christian, but who had heard so many stories, says to the woman, you need to get up to Bethel Church because they see cancer, get healed. So he got an unbelieving believer. It's really interesting. Sometimes we have unbelieving believers who believe more than believing unbelievers. And so the unbeliever, non-Christian, is telling her, you need to get up to the church because they see healing. Faith for healing, at least, though she wasn't really ready to give her life to Jesus. There had been a faith that Jesus can heal. And she told her, go there. Wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be awesome? As you steward the testimonies, you share them, you give them when it happens to you, you're not embarrassed, and then the people start spreading them around, that the atmosphere of New England begins to change from being so skeptical to believing you need to get up to HT Church because they believe in healing. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd build our faith and you would cause us to believe. And we thank you for the woman who can prove she was healed. We thank you for about 15 that felt your power touch them powerfully and they believe they're going to be healed. And we welcome their testimonies when they get the report in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that just the goodness of God would draw them to repentance and they would understand that your grace reaches out to them, and not only can they be healed by faith, but they can be delivered by faith, and they can become a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And we bless them and pray for them that this would be a place where people experience healing and new life being born again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, come on, let's just express our love, our appreciation for Dr. Clark and for the word that he's brought to us today. Listen, Friday, Saturday, this morning, they have just poured and poured and poured into us. You know, the Bible says that the one who waters shall himself be watered, the one who refreshes shall himself be refreshed. So we have offering plates on either side of the sanctuary doors, and if you'd like to just leave a blessing, we just want to send Dr. Clark and his team back to Mechanicsburg with a blessing of our love and our hospitality and a token of our appreciation, our offerings. I think there's a few books left on the book table. You can just check those out. Go online and check out Global Awakening Ministries, and they have so many wonderful things to offer. Just lift up your hands, lift up your faces. Father, I pray you just bless your people, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you've already gone ahead of us, our good shepherd. Lord, you've already passed through our Monday and our Tuesday and our Wednesday and our Thursday this week. Thank you, Lord, that you're seeking out for us green pastures, the best opportunities, Lord, still waters. Thank you that you're preparing a banqueting table in the presence of our enemies, Lord. All they can do is stand by the sides and watch while we just feast on your goodness this week. Lord, go with your people. Be with us until we come together again. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Have a great week.